Well, we'll call our meeting to order this evening, and we'll start with the Register of Deeds presentation at 290.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the committee. I appreciate the opportunity to be here tonight and meet all of you and see some of the new faces we've got. For those of you who aren't familiar, my budget is probably one of the simplest budgets you're going to look at during these days of budget hearings. I have 5 full-time employees, and the bulk of my expenses are some office supplies, little staff development, and employee salaries. Our wonderful IT department takes care of our computers and printers and toner and all of those other things that make the Register of Deeds office viable, helps us to do the work that we do. This year we're proposing a total, an increase in revenue of $116,000 over last year's budgeted revenue in this budget. So we're looking on page 292 of a total funding for the unit of $1,766,000. We currently, through September, are over budget $158,957,000. Now, going into the end of the year, that's our slower time of the year, so that'll probably level out, get a little closer to the 116 that we're looking at increasing it over next year. But I think that's a reasonable amount that the finance department increased what I had proposed and the executive agreed to. And I don't think it's an outrageous ask. I think it's something doable that will happen with the increased property values in the county. And we've seen tremendous increase in values. We've seen tremendous property sales. And it's brought a lot of revenue into our department and into our county.
Thank you. Any discussion? Is there a motion?
I would move approval.
Second.
All right. Further discussion? Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And the youth are voting as well, I assume. Yeah. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
We'll move on to the treasurer at 284.
Good evening, everyone. Nice to see you. Some new faces to see. Much like Joellen, we're a fairly small office, so it's probably not the most complex budget that you'll see tonight. We have 3.5 employees outside of myself. And then I think probably what is weird on our budget that you wouldn't see other than like a normal salary and those sorts of things that you might have questions about our forest crop. Some of you might not know what that is. In Wisconsin, some time ago, we created a managed forest land program. So properties that are under that program, instead of being taxed like a normal property, pay a fee into the forest crop program. So that tends to fluctuate a bit depending on how many acres we have involved in that forest crop program. The other thing is probably ag use penalty. It should technically be called ag use conversion charge these days. But about 25 years ago, the state decided to assess agricultural land at a different rate than regular land. And so when they draw it out of that program, we get a charge to try to make up for it. So that's kind of a crystal ball trying to guess how many acres we're going to have be drawn out of that program next year. So those are some weird terms that you might know. BARDA generally goes through and does the revenue side of things to try to figure out exactly where we're going to go. We've been fairly consistent on the low property taxes, so we've been trying to bring that back in line. In 2009, I'd say we hit our peak on delinquent property taxes, and since then, for about the last 6-8 years, we've been fairly consistent in how many we issue certificates to. So we're just bringing that into a line. He may do some adjustment at some point on the interest on investment if the interest rates keep going up. Since we created this budget in June, you can imagine there have been significant interest increases since then. So I'm sure BARDA will be looking at that and deciding where that crystal ball is going to be going. Any other questions on these things? I know there are some new faces, so if you have anything else, feel free.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, through the chair to administration, I'd request you to do a review of our accounting practices on the interest earnings and look at the way we mark to market and possibly work with our other experts that we work with, like possibly Ehlers or whoever you deem appropriate, and just take a look at that to see if it's maybe for the next year's budget we can get a little more juice out of that number.
Well, we've developed a strategy this month to break the mark-to-market component separate from the interest revenue. So going forward, so we'll be doing some adjusting entries, and it'll show more appropriately what the interest revenue that we are generating. The other component will be in a separate line item. It'll still flow to the bottom line. I'll still include that as part of my general fund analysis, but for purposes of comparing the general fund interest line, it'll better reflect.
Oh, we've done that already.
We did.
So you already did what I was thinking about, but so the follow-up to that then is, does the 275 reflect that, or?
It does.
So that number's a good number with
that
change?
That's a good number with that change, correct.
It couldn't go up a little.
He's like, ask me in another quarter, right?
I'd always go up with.
Well, I mean, seriously, if you've now reviewed that and the 275 was done. And
it potentially could go up a little.
So talk a little bit more about that. So this is kind of a new thing you're doing. Do you think that the forecast might be a little higher than are we being?
It could be because, and as Terry alluded to, the interest rates have jumped dramatically. I mean, a good chunk of this, a chunk of this has to do with instruments that are three-year instruments, and those obviously won't follow the same increases as the short-term thing. Instruments that we use, the Invesco, those. But I would say overall, if it continues the way it is, I believe we probably could get another $50,000.
Well, and that was my point. We ratcheted it from 325 to 275. If the chair would entertain a motion, I'd move that we increase that number by 50,000, making it the same as last year.
Second.
Discussion on that? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Passes.
With that, I yield the floor.
Anyone else on the budget?
Motion to approve.
You have a question.
I second that.
So. All right, Phil.
Taking a look at page 286, top of the page, unclaimed funds for the state. Line of zeros going across there. What is the rationale behind that?
So as you may see occasionally in the newspaper, the state treasurer and the Department of Revenue have their own version of unclaimed funds. There's kind of two tiers, and it gets confusing to people. We advertise unclaimed funds, so those things that we paid out to people and they never cashed their check for. We, by statute, have to do that every other year, and we'll be doing that again in 2023. Likewise, for example, if you have an account at a bank that closes, or another private company has an account that closes, and they're unable to pay you what's due to you, they must file those with the state of Wisconsin. So periodically throughout the year, I just go into the list of the state of Wisconsin and see if Kenosha County has any unclaimed funds out there with the state, and do a filing on behalf of the county, and they just get plunked in there when we get them. So they're not a predictable thing. They're if we got some. Sometimes they're things that I think there was a soda machine that we were owed money from PepsiCo, and apparently they couldn't find us, and so they just turned it over to the state, and we collected that money through that review. But I go in about twice a year and see if there's anything hanging out on the state fund to see if we have any money coming our way.
Okay. Yeah. And then the last item, general fund interest, it looks like it was budgeted at $325,000. It's a bit below that currently.
That's what we just made.
Just changed.
And that was
it's
what we talked
up.
About. Okay.
It's back up now.
So when you take a look at that, and that was your proposal that you made. Okay, I understand.
Yeah, so the large negative that's there, that reflects that inclusion of this unrealized gain.
Okay.
So that's what we're proposing. We're going to break unrealized loss. Thank you. That's why it's negative.
Okay.
And that's why we're going to break that out simply.
Yep.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Anyone else? There's a motion on the floor to approve as amended. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next item is Public Works, and we can do that presentation, beginning with facilities.
Does everybody have a copy of our presentation?
Is it this one here?
It's the same one. Yeah, I sent it out. It's the same one we used at Public Works. If you don't have one, I got like 20 of them here.
Is that the one we're going to put up on the display?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. So you brought 20 extra?
Yeah.
How many? The supervisors should all have one in the pile and
oh,
you.
We all have one.
Well, poodles and piles.
Oh, but this one's loose. Okay. I think I'll do it.
Okay, this is pretty much the same format we've been using for years. It's met with a favorable response from most people. And the page numbers are in.
Anyone mind, Jim? I don't leave home without them. Yeah. American Express card.
Okay, welcome to the presentation of the 2023 DPW budget. If you don't know me, I'm Jim Kupfer. I'm the CFO. This is Chris Walton. He's the finance manager. And in the back here is Nick Ruth. He's also in the finance department.
Your packet's way thicker than ours.
I'm anticipating a few questions, so hopefully the answers to all your questions are in this packet. So usually I start out talking about kind of where Public Works fits into the whole scheme. I can skip this whole thing if everybody really needs to know, but I like to kind of frame where we're at compared to the budget as a whole. So up on the top of this, on the first page, it breaks down the Public Works revenues and expenses from the 22 budget to 23, what the dollar increase was, and what the percent increase was. So in revenue, our total revenue increase is 4.9%, and of that, the levy is increasing $30,000, or 0.3%. And expenses are going up 3.5%. There's another box on the left-hand side where it talks about operating expenses. I went to the budget book, and on page 19, there's a county total county expenditures of $275 million. DPW is $23 million of that, or 8.4% of the expenses. When it comes to bonding, total bonding is $19.5 million. DPW, and I'm including Brookside in here because they got a couple big projects that really will be managing. We're 78% of the bonding. Over to the right of that, in the levy side, we're 11.6% of the levy. A little over $74 million is a total. I can't remember if that's with or without the library. It's one of the two. But we're at $8.6 million. And then we put a little summary there of the ARPA funding. Some of it's operational and some of it is capital. So almost $2 million in ARPA funding. Then down on the bottom, we put a chart that shows our full-time equivalents, what they were in 2010, and then what they were in this year's budget and what they are in next year's budget. We're planning on increasing from this year to next year two full-time equivalents. Both of those people are currently seasonal employees, and we'd like to promote them to full-time employees. They're two important jobs, within golf and one within parks. We'll talk a little bit more about them when we get to that section of our report. But we have, like you guys have been hearing, there's lots of problems getting full-time permanent employees. Well, these are two positions we think we need to hold on to, so we'd like to promote them. So there's really, the heads are there right now, but they'll be full-time heads next year. So page two, okay, the top box is the 22 budget. We rounded off to thousands of dollars. All these are the same numbers that are in your budget book. And the top part of that box is the revenues by the various divisions, golf facilities, highways. And then there's the expenses. And then we subtract the expenses from the revenues, and we show a net number, and we break it down by division. So that's 2022 is on the top box. The middle box is the 2023 budget, same information. And then on the bottom box is the increases and decreases in the various components of either revenue or expenses by division. And when we go through explaining our budget, we like to call attention to what's changing in the budget, what's up, what's down. And when you see the various pages, we explain the significant changes from one year's budget to the next. So we've been kind of showing this every year. It seems to be sort of a popular thing. I don't know if you need to take a look at it and digest it. You'll see it when we go to each department, we do the same thing, compare one year's to the next, and then we explain the pluses and the minuses.
Discussion, question?
Yes, sir. Just comment, is this the same document that would have been reviewed by the Public Works Committee prior to tonight's meeting? So you've been through all this in your committee, is that correct?
Right.
Thank you.
Further?
Okay, everybody's okay with that format? All right, page three, we're gonna start off with UW Extension. UW Extension really doesn't technically report within Public Works, but it's part of Shelley's responsibility. So we oversee their bookkeeping and their finance. And we have with us tonight Chrissy Wen. She is our temporary UW Extension person. We had Terry Ward. She's gone. Chrissy has a lot of experience, but she has this same gig for, what do you got, Walworth, Racine, and...
Forward, Jefferson Rock, and Kenosha.
Excuse me, Jim, for interrupting. Does the committee want to vote on these separately, or?
Oh, yes. Group? If we could do that, that'd be good.
Yeah.
We'll vote on the division.
All right.
Separately.
Why don't we just back up then? You heard the presentation on facilities.
No, we haven't.
No, not yet.
Just my introduction.
Just an
overview, yeah.
Go ahead.
But if you want to vote on all of them right now, that's fine with us.
I make it for a quick evening.
You'll save you some time.
A question.
Everybody would save time.
A question like that makes me very curious what we're going to find.
Okay, so UW Extension, they really have three departments. Their largest department is the office department, and that is on page three. And going from 2022 to 2023, the only item that really has, well, they have one part-time person who helps out and takes care of all the grounds up by us, their garden and all that stuff up there. So that's the only person they have is this part-time person. The biggest number, though, is the other professional services. And every year, the county signs a contract with UW, and they provide people. And those people are on page four. I think there's two people on there who are, I guess the yellow didn't show, the community development educator. That position is currently open. And the agriculture educator, that position is also currently open. The other jobs are filled. The total headcount's five, so there's 3.5 that are there. And they're in the process of hiring the community development educator and the agriculture educator right now. And the way we get billed for these is the state bills everybody who has a community development educator, no matter what county you're in, you pay the same amount for that person regardless of what their salary is. So the state bills it out that way. And then if we do not have those positions filled, we do not pay for it. So this year's budget's around $207,000, and we've had some openings. The last couple of years, I think we paid like $160,000 or $170,000. So we don't pay if those positions are not full. And so this year we will have a savings because the position isn't full, but we're budgeting for 2023 as if everyone's replaced and we're going great guns. So that is one of the departments. I'll pause for a second. That's one of the departments out of UW Extension.
Karen.
I would like to make a motion to eliminate the community development educator and use that, since it is an open position, vacant, and use that cost, the $44,900, to fund our two detectives and deputy, partially fund, obviously.
That was $350,000.
$355,946. So I would like to make that motion.
All right. Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion? Brian?
Do we have requirements with the state, or is it a position that we have as subjective? In other words, is this part of the package?
Do you want to answer that, or?
Within university, for any positions that we have that are contracted through the counties, of course, you can choose whether or not to partially fund them. The interesting thing about a vacancy, of course, I do understand that it's when it's vacant, it's money left on the table. So I understand that. The one component is that if you eliminate one vacancy out of the position and don't fund it, and if there's a need still in the community, we cannot guarantee that we will have the funding for the university, because that money will also then be reallocated to another position somewhere else within Wisconsin. So with that being said, if you eliminate one, it's not part of the package. So it's not like we'll say, no, thank you, we're not going to work with Kenosha County anymore. We will still continue to work with Kenosha County to the best of our ability through the educators that we have within the department. So the question was, I think, is it part of the package? So is it part of the package? We have lots of things that are part of our package. Community development is one of them. If that's removed out of the budget, it would mean less education in that space for the people of Kenosha County, for community development and the resources that we bring for that. It would also mean that all the other positions would remain.
Could you share a little bit about what the role encompassed?
With community development? Yeah, it's with the vacancy, it's interesting because we have the opportunity to discover needs. So Amy Grau was our former educator. And she did a lot of business development and worked with communities on their needs, and that's our main focus with an extension, to do that. Community development may serve, so it can serve individuals, it can serve businesses, it can serve from small businesses, small communities to urban communities. They do a lot of leadership development within community spaces and provide a lot of resources around like downtown revitalization is one of them that we're working with, and some of the other counties that I'm working with. They might do things like leadership development with our youth or young people, all the way through possibly some professional development opportunities with facilitation and so forth within our community spaces. And again, that's all coming from a non-biased research-based standpoint. So we approach it through that lens, and an educational lens is how we approach the needs of the community. So when the needs are there, then we can address them.
If Amy was highly effective, could you take a second and share why she left?
I think there were some comments about people getting hired before. I think there was just another opportunity for her that was better fit for her, and so that's why. One of the reasons that I know why she left. So Amy's now working for the Kenosha County Foundation, so she's still...
Community.
Sorry about that. I see an opportunity to rediscover the needs within the county for this position, and figure out how community development that of what we have with an extension can still be a good fit for Kenosha County. And I think that there's a lot of need, from what I know of Amy, what she shared. There's a lot of need still within the communities that we serve to have someone with that expertise.
Okay. From my observations being on PDEC, Amy did a very good job. She was very highly motivated, and she's taken a great step in her career and a good role for her. but backfilling her, the position with somebody with the same competence, I would find perhaps something that's going to take some time to review. So in that regard, I support the motion.
Anyone else, Bill?
From an accounting standpoint, did you make the statement, Mr. Kupfer, that if the position were to be open, not filled, that we would have no dollar amount responsible by Kenosha County, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So, someone can explain to me, Supervisor Decker's proposition, if this were just left open, we wouldn't have any financial commitment, but yet we're going to transfer that money to partially fund the Sheriff's Department. Is that an actual thing that works in accounting procedure and protocol?
I'm deferring that to them because I can't comment on what might get added somewhere else.
Sure. So whoever can respond, go ahead and respond.
There is a budget line for this, so there is our fund set aside in the budget for this position. If the position were not filled, we would be charged
saying, okay,
for it,
right.
But we are levying dollars, gotcha, for the position, so it works.
Okay, that's my question. Thank you.
Anyone else? All right, if there's no other discussion, let's vote on the amendment. All those, do you want a voice vote? Or?
Roll call.
Okay. Time.
Yiggs first.
Check me out. All right, go ahead.
No.
Aye.
John.
Aye.
Aye. Passes. All right, we'll move on.
The second, thank you. The second part, second department. For UW Extension, I'm going to flip the page.
He's got more.
Is that five? There's two other smaller departments, neither of which we ask for any levy funding. The first one is UW Extension. They run a lot of classes and have programs. They collect fees for the people that they teach, and then we spend the money. We're not asking for any levy funding. In fact, they currently have a carryover from prior years of, I know it's over 30,000, I can't remember the exact number, and usually you put in the budget resolution just to keep carrying that over. So we're not asking for any levy, but we put the money in there because we will have classes, and we will, we are forecasting or budgeting that we won't have any expense, but even if we had a little bit of expense as a net, we could use the carryover. And the other department at the bottom is UW Extension after school. We put a small budget in there. We have spent nothing over the last 2 years, but we put something in there in case we have to hire and pay for somebody to provide that function in an after school scenario, and then we will bill back the one of the unifieds, whoever, to get that money back.
What is it?
After They're school. Teachers. Kids come in after school and we teach them and run little programs for them.
Was that not used because of COVID? Or?
I don't know. I really don't know why.
Right.
If the schools wouldn't come and ask, then we wouldn't.
Well, the school came and asked.
Yeah. So that is pretty much UW Extension.
Any other discussion on that?
I would move approval of that. I would move approval of the UW Extension budget as amended.
All right. Is there a discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Next.
Okay. Thank you, Chrissy, and committee. The next is page 6. This is the P&D budget. Andy Bueller sends his apologies. He's in the Smoky Mountains. He said he was going to go hiking in the mountains, so hopefully he knows where he's at, but he's on vacation. So we'll do our best to get through this. Planning Development Department. Personnel, they have, I think it's five people, and they're not asking for any increases. The headcount will be flat. If you look in the top underneath the expense section, there's an item called Inspection Services. It has a $145,000 budget for 23, has a $50,000 budget for to. If you go down to the revenue section, there's an inspection fee revenue budget that is equal but opposite to that. This is the program whereby the Kenosha County P&D Department is going to take over hiring the an inspection firm and collecting the permit fees for Paris, Randall, and Brighton. There's a $50,000 budget in there for this year. We thought we'd get the program going. It's close to being ready to go. We're waiting for the towns to approve the documentation. But it's for the county, it's break even. Whatever we take in as whatever we have to spend, we will pay the inspectors, and we will also give money back to those three towns, because right now they're making money. And we figured out approximately how much they make. We've adjusted the fees accordingly. We have a contract ready to go with an inspection fee. And the guy who's going to do that with, he currently works for two of the towns. And the third town uses a guy who's going to retire. So this inspection company will take over the Paris part of it too. So it's no revenue, and hopefully we can get this thing going by the first of the year. So that's the inspection services and the inspection revenue. They cross each other out.
There's a question.
No, go ahead and finish up, Jim. I'll hold my question until you finish.
On the revenue side, we're expecting an increase volume in the land use and permit revenues based on forecasted activity. Andy Bueller goes through and he has a whole running list of the past 10 or 15 years, and he's expecting that revenue to go up next year by $30,000. And the other increase in revenue is in the land conservation state aid. Now, you're looking at a page that says $130,000, and when I sent this out to everybody, I lied. I said that there were no increases. Literally, the day before we presented this to PDAC, Andy got a letter from the state that said that number will be just a few dollars short of $149,000. So at that committee meeting, they voted to accept that. So I wanted to point that out, but I didn't mention it in the email. That's the only difference that came out of the first set of meetings with the PDEC committee or the Public Works Committee. So that number will be $149,000. So the increase there will be closer to $30,000 than just $10,000.
Mr. Chairman, then that's a reduction to the levy then, right?
Reduction to, yeah, we were forecasting a reduction as it was by about $10,000. Now it's going to go down by close to $30,000.
So if we make a motion to accept the recommendation from committee, the $148,997, we would reduce levy by a like amount. So I would make the motion to accept the recommendation of the committee.
Second.
All right. Discussion on that? All right, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
So that's pretty much it for the P&D department. They have a couple of smaller departments if you flip to page 7. Oh, is that the right
page? Page 7.
I'm sorry, page 8. I'm sorry, page 8. We'll get back to page 7 in a second. Up on the top, there's Board of Adjustment, tree planting, pre-development, and land and water management. For Board of Adjustment, I think it's three people. We put in there what they spent so far in 2022, what they spent in 20. This, it's all in your budget book on page 359 or whatever. But it's three people, so there's this small amount that pays for these. I think they go out and they do zoning things. It's not a big amount of money, but we'll have $5,000 there approximately for the budget, similar to what it was this year. It's a little bit more than what we've actually spent, but if we don't need to spend it, we don't spend it.
Sure.
I just don't want to have to come back and ask for $2,000 if they have a bad. So tree planting, there's we don't budget for any levy there. In 2020, we actually made a little bit of money, but in 2021, we lost a little bit amount of money, and this year we're making money, so it can go up and down. They actually have a carryover from prior years of over $30,000. The cumulative over the years, they've made money. So I think the one year they bought and then they sold it the next year, or the reverse or whatever. But we budget no levy, and if they do have some expenses, we'll take it out of the carryover. Pre-development is the same thing. We budget some expenses in case we have to do a program for a developer, and we'll do the work, and then, or hire a consultant, do the work, and build them back. So we generally make money there, and we have a carryover of a little over, or almost $11,000 there. Land and water management, big difference between 22 and 23 is Andy's department is receiving an extra grant from for land and water management. We don't have to match it. We just take the money in and we'll spend it, and they'll do for any of their projects they have that are related to water management next year. So again, there's a carryover there of about $8,000 from prior years, and we're budgeting flat in 2020. We spent some money, but we didn't do the billing back till 2021, so we made it back the next year. And the other ones, the dog park, the trails, and the civic center, we'll talk about those when we get to the other department, but those are the four small departments that are related to P&D. So that is it for that particular department.
Right. Discussion, Bill?
Just back on page six, Jim, you're talking about county's gonna hire an inspection company for Paris, Randall, and Brighton, is that correct? Do we have the name of that company? What's the name of the company?
Bluestone. I think it's Bluestone.
So, formerly, was that handled in-house by us here in the county? They did their own, they contracted their own.
Yeah, Bluestone or another inspection, there's an individual who was doing a lot of the inspecting. Okay. His name is Don Fox. Don's retiring, and he worked for Paris, and he did some work for Brighton, and he was also semi-farming it out to someone who did some work for Paddock Lake. But all that side is retiring. We're just going to hire this company that'll do everything.
Okay. And then Summers is on its own.
Well, we provide
separate
zoning services
correct
for them, yeah.
Right. And we've done that for a period of time, yeah. And that's going to remain essentially changed. When I look at the two budgets between 22 and 23, that's flat, is that correct?
Yeah, it's been pretty much that for the last couple of years.
Yes, those are my questions, Mr. Chairman. Thank
you. All right, Dan.
Mr. Chairman, the Chair of Public Works.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to make a statement about that. Is in the towns, the unincorporated areas that we're talking about, Randall, Brighton, and Paris, mm-hmm. Currently, if you want to build something or remodel or anything, you go to your town, you fill out stuff, you come to the county, you fill out stuff, and you go back to the town,
sure.
And what this is going to do is streamline it. The county's still going to get the permit fees that they are always getting, and we're going to do this all online, and it's going to be much better for everyone involved, including the county, but it's really a service that's going to really benefit those of us who live in towns. We don't have the benefit of having our own inspection departments. They're all part-time. Jim has said, they go between different towns and all that. So this is really going to help those three towns, as well as streamline everything that goes on here as well. So everything will be done one-stop shop, I think is what we call it. So, thank you.
All right, very good. Anything further here?
On page seven is it's the capital outlay project plan for the South Pike River Restoration Project. Now, the 22 budget included about $2.1 million to purchase land and maybe a couple of design expenses. And then the construction was going to happen in the future, which is what this budget shows. And as far as anything we can do this year, we still don't have the authorization to go out and do anything with the land, so right now that is on hold until that takes place. That's the status as of today.
So you're not asking for any kind of action?
Not asking for any kind of money.
Correct.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, thank you. Through the chair to the department head, Shelley. On this project, we had adopted a resolution in Finance Committee to defer action on the purchase of the land, and we had requested that be deferred till on or before November 10th. And then in addition, we wanted to couple that with consideration of an initial resolution, a bonding resolution to authorize funding the balance of the project, which is a $3 million bonding resolution. So on those two actions, I could save the committee time and the administration time, unless I hear from you that there's a problem with this motion, to change that deferral from, I'll wait till she's off the phone.
I'm so sorry.
Okay, so what I'll do, what I'm considering is suggesting that the deferral be made to sometime in the first quarter of 2023, unless you see an issue with that. So it would be okay for us to do that. Then I would make that motion to defer the resolution that we saw in front of Finance Committee to approve purchasing the land, and the resolution that would come up on Thursday, the initial resolution to fund the rest of the project, defer those two actions until on or before March 31st of 2023. So I would make that motion.
Second.
All right, discussion there. Jim, did you say on or before or on or after?
On or before. We would have to defer it to a time certain, on or before March 31st of 2023. Yeah, so
sorry.
Q1 of 2023.
Further discussion?
Yeah. I can see the rationale for doing it, but aren't we just asking to pay more money in terms of interest rising, real estate prices? I mean, that's not really an answer, it's a rhetorical question. I'm not asking you for an answer specifically, but every action you make has consequences, intended consequences or not. And I'm just wondering if that won't drive the price up as time goes along. That's my comment.
Anyone else on the motion? All right, seeing none. Voice vote, or do you want to roll call?
A roll call.
Roll call.
All right, we'll call in the two youth members first.
Aye.
Aye.
John?
Aye.
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 Aye. Aye. All right, it passes. Jim?
That's pretty much it for Public Works.
All right, is there a motion?
I would move approval with the budget is amended.
I'm sorry, planning development.
I'm like, oh, planning.
I'm sorry, I rehearsed in my brain. And
my motion is to approve the planning and development budget.
No, there's too many auditors in the room anyway.
So
yeah, they would work to 11 o'clock.
My motion was to approve the planning and development. I did hear the vice chair of the board second it.
And then including
this amendment that we're doing on the pike, which isn't a line item, it's more of a procedural change.
All right, would you second it? Mm-hmm. Discussion on that. All right, seeing none, I'll just call for a voice vote unless there's a call for a roll call.
Aye.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? It passes.
Okay, Parks is on page 9, and I'm going to let Chris talk for a while.
All right. Starting at the top, if you're looking at personnel, yes, they still have annual raises and market condition adjustments. It may be a little confusing as to why you only see roughly $9,000 increase, especially with the addition of a full-time employee proposed. The offset is the full-time employee is being taken out of the seasonal salaries line item. It offsets one into the other. To offset the increases that you would otherwise see for the annual adjustments, the workers' comp number that we were given from finance has decreased, which is why you only see a slight adjustment increase to the personnel. The position as a parks maintenance person, the thought and reasoning behind this is getting qualified staff to be able to do the various jobs that they're required to do is hard enough as is. If we can get somebody that's full-time that you can train, and keep them on the payroll, you don't have to keep retraining somebody to keep doing the same jobs.
You want to add anything to this, Matt? It's
Chris is doing a fantastic job. Just questions are here.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'll pause here if anybody has any questions specifically in regards to that. I'll defer to Matt. But seeing none, I'll just keep rolling. Contractual services, the next line item, you'll see an overall increase of roughly $24,000. Included in this is an increase to utilities. There is a water and sewer line that has gone through Paddock Lake, which is on two of our parcels. That cost is passed on to the parcel owners. This is roughly $20,000 to $25,000 a year. So we have adjusted the budget for that. You will also see an increase to the miscellaneous contractual service line, 529900. A big change in this one is an increase for $50,000 for a temporary business plan.
Can you explain that?
I will defer to Matt or Jim to.
I'll
go ahead, Mr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, as members, this is debated for quite a bit of time, about an hour or so, at our Public Works Budget Committee meeting. Overall, this is a recommendation by Kenosha County Administration, not Kemper Center Inc., so I want to differentiate between the two. So this is our recommendation to overall look at the full utilization of Kemper Center Park and campus. It's a 17.5-acre park. Obviously, we have Anderson Art Center, newly renovated, revitalized, as well as the main Kemper Center complex. As you look at the underutilized area versus what's being currently used through our current lease agreement, it behooves Kenosha County to look from within to see how we move the next steps going into 2027 with our contract with Kemper Center Inc. We have a lot to be appreciative of with Kemper Center Inc., but we just want to make sure from Kenosha County's standpoint that we're really optimizing the campus in the best interest of Kenosha County. Obviously, there's a lot of fixed costs that go into the center on an annual basis. There is revenue offset by the utilization and the operation through Kemper Center Inc. But again, looking at things very holistically, I highly recommend for a third-party professional consultant to really come in and evaluate what can be done with this campus, get some fresh ideas out there so we can see what's in the best interest for Kenosha County moving forward. So that's what the $50,000 is planned for.
So what's the position of the Kemper Board on this?
We personally did not directly consult with Kemper Inc., but we do have members of the Kemper Board in attendance if there's any questions from their part of it. But again, we're hoping that we work jointly. We need a lot of that data to see how it's utilized currently. Again, this is not a riff from my standpoint of anything with Kemper Center Inc. It's more so just, again, for Kenosha County to see how much we can really utilize that campus. So they've been a great partner. They've really helped us out and offset a lot of that personnel cost that the parks would have to go into it. But I think we both agree, I hate to speak for Kemper Inc., but we're always looking at what we can do better. And this is an opportunity as we look forward for the next 10, 20, 25, 50 years, how to further utilize that entire property.
Do you have somebody in mind?
Not as of yet. We're going to do a RFP for a wide swath to see really who has experience as far as a consultant that would really have this niche between the park, the utilization, open space. So we're going to put out an open RFP and go through that process to select a firm.
What was the committee's approval or discussion input?
Well, the committee ended up voting, there was a motion to remove this from the budget, and that motion was shot down 4-3. But I would bring this up, and I think I heard Matt say at the committee, and correct me if I'm wrong, Matt, do other parks have a plan, all the other parks that the county works, is there an overall plan for each of the parks?
Yes,
For example, Kenosha County Veterans Memorial Park, when it was originally considered KD Park, and we converted that over to the Veterans Park, we have a comprehensive master plan to really guide grant funding, project development, phasing of different types of improvements or natural resource management. So that's one of the many examples of what we do to better kind of sequence things, and we present these master plans to the Public Works Committee, get their buy-in to make sure that when it comes up, either as a budget item for that park or a utilization plan, that we have that buy-in from the county board as much as administration.
So this is not antagonistic to the what they're doing now?
Absolutely not.
Dave.
Mr. Chairman, I would make a motion to remove this $50,000 from the levy and fund it with the Parkland Development Fund.
Second.
All right, can you explain that?
We have a Parkland Development Fund that we use for this type of work. It's a one-time cost, and instead of funding it with property tax levy, we can fund it with dollars from the Parkland Development Fund. So that would remove it from the levy, and yet we would still be able to do the project. I mean, I think we need to do planning. I mean, we've got tens of millions of dollars of buildings there, so we definitely need to do some planning for that operation. But I do think it's the reason why we created that fund, the Parkland Development Fund, to fund this type of work. So then it would take it off the levy.
Eric?
Well, through the chair to Supervisor Gearson. Instead of taking, well, when you say take it off the levy, can we use that $50,000 in levy dollars to apply towards the cost of the deputies?
Correct.
Or the deputy, yeah. And the detectives?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
It would reduce the levy by $50,000, so it would offset $50,000 of that $300,000.
Is that part of your motion?
Well, no, it's not part of the motion, but it would happen. I mean, that would happen if our goal is to meet that or exceed the $300,000.
Ed, do you have anything on this?
I'm happy to work with the county in any way we can to help better Kemper Center's stance in the community. Work with the county in any way we can. We appreciate the effort.
All right. Further discussion? Bill.
Through the chair, Parkland Development, that is funded by how? Where does the money come from for that?
Money comes from Boundless, the 23 budget. Boundless Adventure is $75,000. Beer Garden $75,000, and Waste Management $75,000, $225,000, no bonding.
Okay, so
and, excuse me, there is a carryover balance in there right now from prior years that's
okay.
a few hundred thousand left over.
Right, so estimate, what's in that account right now, ballpark, how much?
After next year, and we mm-hmm. have plans to spend some of it, but after that is spent on Veterans Memorial Park, we have some payments that we budgeted sure. to pull out of $500,000.
Okay, so really your proposition, 10% of that.
Yeah. There'd be plenty of money there for other
purposes. Okay, so we're not draining that fund down
right.
to an appreciable extent.
Yeah,
thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Anything else?
More good questions.
I think.
Further discussion? Do you want a voice vote on this, or do you want?
Voice vote's fine with the maker of the motion.
All right, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
We passed.
All right,
next.
I'll just touch on the fixed. You see an increase of roughly $30,000. This is just the insurance premium that were quoted from finance.
You captured it.
If you flip over to page 10, it moves on to the capital projects. I will notate it brought up in one of our, in the Public Works meeting last week, that a lot of the vehicles that you'll see in both parks and all the other departments, no, we're not sure that we can get them next year. The reason behind keeping them in the budget, and some of them were even scaled back, but the reason by for keeping them in the 2023 budget is if there is a window that we can get in line to get the trucks ordered, we need to have the funds readily available to do so. That's the only comment that I really wanted to make individually. If there's other questions that people have specifically on the Capitol, we can go into that.
Discussion?
Quick question, and I guarantee I missed it earlier, but floodplain property, $250,000, that is Parks 6.
Yes. There's opportunities that come up from time to time for us to pick up some floodplain property. Usually we put $550,000 in there. A lot of this is Fox River. Most of it is Fox River. We've been doing this for years and years, picking up lots or buildings that people come and ask us to buy from them. And for $200,000, we had originally put the budget in for $50,000, and the county executive put in an extra $200,000 to be funded with, that $200,000 is ARPA money, to increase the amount that we can try to pick up this year to, for the same purpose, buy those properties.
So if we don't pick up properties, the money stays and goes back to the general fund?
No. It remains in the floodplain property fund.
It remains?
That carries over year over year.
How much is in it now?
How much is in there?
$100,000? I would say roughly
$100,000. Yeah, it's around
$100,000. So really,
we put some money in there this year, so.
So you'd actually have $350,000?
If we didn't spend anything, yes.
No, that's what you have, plus this, plus what's already in there is $350,000, yes. Is what you would actually have.
Yes.
And that's applied specifically to Pike, or primarily to Pike, I should say.
Fox River.
Okay. So it's gentrified, damaged, or unusable properties. Thank you.
And Kamiki, did you have your hand up?
Yeah, I think the county executive has something to add to this.
I'm sorry, I didn't know you
were still here. Two properties that are available that we want to purchase right away. That one that is a key property, the last property on Riverside Drive. That flooded, and again, the owners are elderly and want to sell. We have this opportunity, and then there's another property up the road a little bit that has just come available, so that's why we put in $200,000 to try to acquire those two properties.
Yes.
And to follow up on County Executive Kirkman, these properties now, we cannot seek out purchasing them. We have to have the owners come, the owners have to approach us to purchase them, and we're getting down to, there's not many properties, not many homes left and properties, because we've bought in so many, so the more we can pick up, the more we can close roads and not have to, not we as the county, but the municipality, Salem Lakes and Wheatland, they can close roads and not have to plow roads and things like that, so it's very advantageous, and then we don't have to worry about these properties, these homes flooding like they did in 2017 also. Yeah.
This is perpetual floodplain. It's just right.
Yes.
People built on the beach when the hurricane came.
You're right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it does save, I mean, the federal government invests in this too, because then they don't, these properties no longer purchase flood insurance, which when they flood, the federal government funds their repairs and fixing up the homes. So it does save the federal government money too.
Okay. Can I continue then, please? Playground improvements of 150, which parks 4?
Yeah, so if you flip to page 11.
Okay.
This is currently the priority ranking. Obviously, this is subject to change. But the $150,000 that you see in the 23 budget is for the Silver Lake Beach Playground.
Okay, so Silver Lake Park Beach Playground. Familiar and it needs some help. Thank you. I think that was all the questions I had.
Here.
I have questions, not on the CFP, but back to page 120, regarding the Kemper Center donation, the Historical Society donation, the Pringle Danger Center donation, and the special events. Can you expand on that? Either of you, what are they used for?
We'll start with Kemper.
There was a long discussion in the committee meeting.
Really?
Yes. I bet your packet's full of stuff in there.
Either the packet or the pile of stuff I got in the desk in there, yes. The Kemper is, we have a contract signed with them, a MOU, where we provide $100,000 a year, up to $100,000 a year, and we pay for utility-type expenses. Now, I have a list that goes down to the excruciating level of exactly what got spent there, but it covers about 70, about three-fourths of it. In last year, in 2021, we spent just a little over $100,000, a couple hundred dollars over. 73/4 of it was We Energies, and then we pay for the emergency phones, we pay for the fire detection maintenance and equipment, we pay for the elevator stuff, the elevator maintenance, all those mechanical types of things. So that's what goes in for the Kemper one. For the Historical Society, we provide $145,000 a year as a donation, and they use it towards their operations, paying their people or paying for their events or their utilities. What I know about them is they do not own the building. The city owns the building. They rent it from the city for a buck a year. And that's about, we just give them the money and they use it for their operations. That's the Historical Society. So for Kemper, we own that, or excuse me, for Pringle, and Matt, you might have felt, we own the building there, but it's in a park. And we give them the donation and they use that for their operations also, paying their people or helping run the activities that they run. What's the other one you wanted to?
Special events.
Oh, special events. There's a whole list of, I'll read some of them off, and if you guys want copies, we have it. Where is it? You're going to make me find it, aren't you? Can I just run over to my box over here for a second?
I can talk
Matt
while just, you're...
Yeah. Matt can tell you.
So with special events, we've been growing that dramatically since I've been here. We have, between our community partners and what the parks puts on, close to 200 events. Some of our main ones, there's obviously expense that goes into either the bands for Bristol Woodstock, Picnic in the Park, or at Petrobrine Springs Park. Our movie nights, and smaller, maybe fitness classes, yoga. So any of those expenses, our first line of defense is trying to find business partners, and we've been successful. And if Jim could find that document, I don't remember off.
Everybody want a copy of this? Or
it has the revenue that we get beyond the $25,000. So we always try to get community partners, business partners to sponsor those things, and we put out signage. So there's different levels. So for instance, with Symphony in the Garden, that was one of our largest ones where we had the whole Kenosha Symphony Orchestra along with Betsy Aid and the Well-Known Strangers, well over between 5,000 and 7,000 people in attendance. But that costs a lot, especially with a symphony and that many people. So they gave us a discount being a symphony orchestra, but there's still expenses that went into the symphony, the view, or the sound to put that on. So beyond the business partner standpoint, there's still a net cost for that line item of $25,000 to put on all our events per year. But if you look at what we get from revenue plus that $25,000 and how many events we have, I still think it's a pretty darn good deal.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Anything to add, Jim, to that?
I couldn't say anything more than you. But I can give copies of all this. I could watch it. I probably could, but I won't.
Yes.
Chairman? I'm curious on the utilities. Do we cover 100% of the utilities costs on Kemper, or is that a portion thereof?
That's it.
That's 100% coverage?
Excuse me.
Oh, Laura.
Laura.
The MOU from 2017 that went into effect 2019 says that the county will only pay up to $100,000. So if the utilities go over $100,000, Kemper has to pay the remaining. That's the agreement. So it isn't the county footing the bill if it goes over $100,000, just to be clear. So the 2017 MOU went into effect 2019. So I think it's important to recognize that.
Thank you. But it's quite probable that We Energies, et cetera, is a portion of the utilities. I would probably think the elevator is not a utility. That's a fundamental structural element to the building. So.
I'm going to read from the document. Is the understanding and agreement of the parties that utilities consist of the expenses for gas, electric, water, alarm security services, fire inspection, annual equipment services, and emergency phones. Okay. So any of the elevator inspection, would be under the annual equipment services category.
Thank you. You're appreciate welcome. The clarification.
Further discussion? Yes.
Mr. Chairman, to Jim, on page 123, I meant to ask you about this earlier, so I apologize, and it slipped my mind, and then it came back. This accounts for waste management contribution and rental income. The actuals in 2021 were $84,400 and $65,968. I think the 2022 modified budget then has the balance, the fund balance reflected in the budget. So that's for the waste management, right? So is that correct?
The well, waste management, I think, is exactly $75,000.
The column three, the 2022 budget adopted and modified. Maybe this is to Barn and to Patty as well. The 495,962. I think that's a parkland development fund, or you know, maybe that's
somehow the way it rolled up. We'll look into that.
Okay, good. And then on the rental income of 125, where we adopted nothing in 2022, but we're adopting $75,000 there.
You'll see in the adopted column, it's $200,000 to waste management. It was all lumped into that one line on accident, and it should have been broken out, and it's therefore broken out in this year.
Is Brian Thomas here? That was his catch. So that's the mystery solved. And so there isn't an opportunity for increasing the rental income. That's the solid number that you talked about earlier.
We're going to beat that 150 last year between the Beer Garden and Boundless Adventures, and we'll beat it this year.
But that all flows into parkland development then, right? So this is not levy.
No, right? It's not levy money.
Okay. I yield the floor.
All right.
Back to the Kemper Center donation. First of all, Supervisor Belsky said that our limit is set in the MOU is $100,000. Wondering why we have $105,000 in there then.
Did you guys see this? I can tell you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I asked the board.
Would you stand up so we can hear clearly?
I asked the board to increase that last year due to the fact that now the Anderson Arts Center is fully air conditioned where it wasn't before. I knew our utility costs would be going up, so that therefore I asked for it to increase by $5,000. And as Jim alluded to earlier, last year's total amount was $103,000 plus. Am I correct on that, Jim? Somewhere along those lines.
I'll tell you exactly what it was. I think it was $100,300 or something.
$134 is.
Yeah, $134.
Yeah. Something over $100,000. I can do that. Now with utility costs going up, I can foresee that going over $100,000 again this year.
In 2020, we spent $91,206. In 2019. Was $94,217. 2018, which was the first year, was $100,182. So Ed, you owe us $182 and $134.
Okay. I don't have my
checkbook. All right, anything?
No, I still have the floor. So at the committee meeting, there was a lot of discussion regarding this money that we are paying for the utilities for Kemper Center and the study that we modified the budget for to take it off the levy and put it in parkland development. But a lot of the discussion was also regarding Kemper Center's financials and why they are unable to afford the utilities, when that was one of the plans years ago that Kemper Center Inc. would raise enough funds that they could pay for the running of it, the utilities, the maintenance, and that isn't happening. And it hasn't happened since 1977, which is very frustrating. And we're not obligated to pay these utilities. The MOU states that we do not have to, that we don't have to pay them if the county board does not fund them. So a lot of people feel, supervisors and others, feel that us continually paying, the county continually paying for things for Kemper Center is giving them a crutch not to to strive to their highest ability to fundraise and things like that. So, and another issue is we don't know the financials of Kemper Center. The MOU stated that they're supposed to give us information. I requested that information from the county executive's office, and they said they didn't have that information. I know since then they've gotten it. We've gotten it. But there's other financials that I believe we need to find or get. So to help with the study that we're going to undertake at a cost of $50,000. So I think there's some options that I think we need to think about to approve before we approve this spending. One of the one option is just approve what's in there as is. Another option is to cut the spending however much maybe someone on the committee feels we should cut it. Or someone can cut the spending to zero. That's a possibility also. Or another option is we give them the $105,000. We budget that for the utilities, but at the same time add a stipulation that we will not pay for the utilities until we get the financials that we need to assist in the study, what we need for the study to help with gathering information. We could also request those financials, cut the line item by some dollar amount, but still request the financials and not release that those funds until we get those financials. And then obviously make it zero and not release the information at all, you know, and not get any information also. So I believe we need to get the financial information. It doesn't matter to me what we spend or what we pay for the utilities. I'm okay with 100% of what's in the budget. I'm okay. So does anyone have any other discussion on that?
Question. I thought Kemper provided us with an annual audit. Am I incorrect?
Yeah, the last one we have is 20. The 2021 is being finalized. We do not have a final 2021 yet.
So there is a rule that they must have an annual audit, and we are to receive it when they receive it?
Yes.
Is it behind the, is it up to date? Is it late?
It's late.
Ed?
It's late due to the firm.
Can you stand in your way in the back?
It's late. The firm we're dealing with had shortcomings of personnel, and therefore they asked for an extension, and you got it. That's where we're at on that.
When will you receive it?
I think it's, when did they say, November, I believe?
When would you normally have it?
Would have had it, I believe, in May.
May.
Okay. And as soon as I get it, I'll bring it out, the problem, and I'll... Yeah. It wasn't due to the fact that we didn't give our auditors information, it's due to the fact that our staffing levels.
There isn't somebody else you could have gotten?
Well, we started with this firm. They have all our pertinent information. And then all of a sudden, midway through, now they're shortcoming, so we just stayed with them. And we asked for the extension, and that's where we're at right now.
Okay.
We're not trying to hide anything.
Mr. Chairman, I do like the idea of putting a financial incentive in there to get the financial information. When I was a CFO here, we did regularly get the audit, I appreciated that, and I think that was important. But, and I also know there's a cash flow issue where we upfront some cash to them, so I don't, when I make this motion, I'd like to be able to allow them to continue to get the cash flow, knowing that the audit won't be available till later in the year, but I really like the vice chair's idea of subjecting that money to receiving the audit So I would make that motion.
The dollar amount,
give Kemper the money for the utilities, the full amount that's budgeted, with the stipulation that they do provide the audit.
Sometime in
2023, sometime within the year, for the 2022 audit. So
you don't want to
pick a date?
Sometime in 2023.
Preceding budget season.
All right.
Would you like an earlier date? Would you like it to be by July or?
My question is, do we pay the utilities directly or do we?
I didn't want to stop him. We don't give them any money, we pay them. Just so, because what you're saying is not to give them money until, well, we don't give them anything right now. We pay the bills.
You're okay.
On their behalf.
That's what I'm talking about. I don't want to interfere with that cash flow, but then they would have to rebate us if for some reason they don't provide the audit.
Okay.
Ed.
No problem with that. The bills come to us, and then I settle. That's how we worked it out, correct?
Yes.
So really, you want audit requirements.
Right. So that's my motion.
All right, is there a second?
Well, I'd like to add a comment.
Is there a second? Yeah,
I want to, can I, through the chair before?
Sure.
Is an audit enough information, or do we need like all their books, their accounts, their records, and their documents, because that's in the lease that we're supposed to be able to get those.
This motion that the dollar, that for the contingency of the dollars, I wanted the audit, and then if I had agreement with that motion, then I was going to add another second piece that, since that's required by the contract anyway, I wouldn't make this contingent on that. I would see how they would perform there. And then next year, if they don't perform well, then I think we need to tie this to that.
Okay. I'll second your motion.
Okay.
Then.
All right, discussion on the motion. Laura.
The one thing I'd like to say is that being a new board member on Kemper Center, I've looked over their books. I've pulled their 990s, which I provided to Vice Chair Decker. And if you look from 2015 to 2019, they made almost $1 million in public revenue. So they are performing. 88% of their operations budget is paid for by donations and public support. So I think that's really important to understand. Of course, COVID impacted everyone. So I think we need to take that into consideration. So I would ask, I don't disagree with these amendments. I think it's good to have, and I know that Kemper wants to open their books and be very forthright with everyone. So I would support those amendments, but I just ask you to take into consideration, anybody can pull a 990. It's on Dun and Bradstreet. So all their financials are available for everyone to see, and they've done a really good job up until COVID hit, and so now they're recovering. So, thank you.
Yeah.
So, Mr. Chairman, so we have a motion on the floor, and I just wanted to comment on it, and I'm glad that Supervisor Belsky added that information. This evaluation, this plan that we're putting in this budget is critically important. I mean, we have tens of millions of dollars of buildings. This is a county park that thousands and thousands of people use. It's got a history here. And we need to work together as much as possible with every entity that's involved with Kemper. And they need to be transparent with us so we can do the very best, so Matt and the county administration can do the very best job of planning possible. To any degree there's an obstacle, it makes it harder to develop a plan that will make it successful in the future. That's why I wanted to begin the process of locking that down with this stipulation. I hear there's no objection from the board member or from the director, and then see how they perform. If, as our administration is working through developing the plan, if we're working along really well, excellent. Now we're in a position to work together and do a good plan. If there's roadblocks or obstacles, we can report to Public Works, report to Finance, and but I think everyone's going to work together. That's what I think. But I just think this plan is very important. So, and I'm glad that Aaron brought the idea forward.
All right.
So,
thank you, John.
Well, I do support Supervisor Geertsen's motion, because looking at the Department of Financial Institutions, the Kemper Center there, in the last 7 years, I think they've gone delinquent on their records there 3 times, so I do have concerns about them.
All right, any other
behind you, there's a person who kind of...
Yes, Brad.
I just have one question, I guess, to be through the chair to Ed. Yeah, I just have a question.
Yeah.
Is Kemper Center Inc., do they have the ability to pay the utilities or any portion of the utilities for next year?
Well, if you're going to force us to
I'm not asking, just in general, are you guys,
if there's a need arises, we'll have to do what we have to do.
No, I guess.
But we've developed a partnership with Kenosha County for years. And it's long before I've even been in that position. We want to continue to maintain that. And that's part of the deal, so to speak. Okay. So if you want to see something different, we can do something different, but I'm just saying.
Well, let me just ask my question. Let me ask my question differently. Does Kemper Center Inc., do they have a positive cash flow where they could afford to pay part of the utilities?
I can say we're able to maintain my salaries of my staff and those sorts of things. We have a little bit of a cushion right now. We're going into a good season for us, which is Christmas, so we're hoping that's very profitable for us. But to just sit there and drain everything that I have and then have no contingencies moving forward, I don't think that's very smart on my part to just say, well, I've got $105,000 I'm going to take out of the budget right now, and that's it.
Well, that's what I was asking. Well,
that's what I'm saying to you. Yeah. I'm just letting you know.
Okay.
Clear as day, I don't have the $105,000.
Okay.
Jim, that memo that you read from, what's the date of that and what is the term of it?
That's the agreement that was, the MOU that was signed in 2017. I think it was a 10-year agreement. It expires now.
Yeah.
So, 27. So it's got 5 more years left.
Yeah. That's the one about the utilities.
Yes.
All right. Discussion.
I'm just going to ask if we could resolve the motion, and then I have other questions for Kemper that are outside the motion.
All right. Anything else on the motion?
Just a restatement of the motion,
yep.
Please.
Dave.
So the motion is that we will keep the full dollar amount in the budget, but the that dollar amount will be subject to receiving the audit sometime in 2023. Will permit the bills to continue to be paid, but if for some reason we don't get the 2022 audit in 2023, then they'll have to pay us back for the utilities, and that's my motion.
All right. Just further on the motion, Brian.
No. Yes. For clarification, you didn't address the 2021, which was in process, but there's not a date stamp to it.
And you expect to get that to us soon?
As soon as I get it, Supervisor Gerson and the board will get it.
All right, so my contingency is just for the 2022, then.
Thank you. I just want to point out that the Kemper lease states that the county does not pay the utilities. This MOU, which was signed by the previous county executive, was signed, and it essentially changes the lease, and it was signed without county board approval. So in my opinion, that's a real problem, because the county executive cannot change leases for real properties without county board approval. So I just want to point that out, because specifically in the lease in 1992, there was previous, well, in the lease in 1977, there was language stating that the county the lessee is required to give accounting information. The wording is set in there, and then also the duties of the lessee were but the responsibilities of the lessor in Article 11 stated Lesser may provide funding for maintenance, improvements, and direct operational costs of Kemper Center as a county park. The terms of such funding will be defined by a separate management agreement between the lessee and the lessor. So that was in the 1977 lease. But then when the lease was signed, or signed again in 1992, that Article 11 was specifically removed from the lease. So I just want to let everyone know that happened. That's all.
All right. I don't know if you want to go down this, but I think we should vote on this motion first.
Amendment.
Come back to that if you like. If you want to go down that road, then you're talking about getting legal opinions.
Wanted to bring it up so people know that we're not on the hook to pay for these utilities.
All right. Okay, any other discussion on the particular amendment here?
I'm the maker of the motion, and I'm okay with a voice vote if the rest of the committee is okay.
All right, with that, is there any request for a voice vote? Rather for a roll call vote. All right, seeing none, all those in favor of the amendment say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right. Any other discussion here?
Yes, Chairman.
Sure.
To Supervisor Kubicki. Kemper is, I just heard the number, million in revenue, 88% of that is via donations, some of that is by activity as well. So if it's 88% by donation, that still leaves us another 200,000, roughly. I'll round it off, a little less, but that comes by income for the operations that are occurring, et cetera. So if there were a need for a collaborative sharing, because as I go through other numbers, I look at the investment by the county, which is substantive. In 2 years, $500,000 in building improvements, $200,000. If I take 2 years, I'm going to use 2 years, $200,000 in utilities. Other, I imagine, monies would also be found quickly that are accrued against it as well through parks and other activities. Our objective would be that it's a financial gain, not a financial loss as a center. That said, it's a diamond for the county. It's definitely one of the best parks that we have. It's on the lakefront. I don't believe anybody here is going, oh my God, we don't want the thing. No, we love it. It's part of us, part of our community. But how do we make it more financially sound? And that's Matt's objective, to go through and dig into how to make it more financially sound. I would make a motion to ask our accounting team to go through and do an accrual of all costs associated with Kemper Center. Just use a 10-year window, all costs, not just rudimentary or those assigned directly to the contract for utilities, etc. You'll be supplying your books as soon as they're completed and concluded, and then we can do a reconciliation through this committee to understand what the real situation is, and then get a recommendation from Matt's piece as well. So I would like to see that, however, and I would say by January 1st or the first meeting in January.
And this is for the year 2022 or
10-year time frame from now, retrospectively.
Jim, is there a second to that motion?
I would second, and then I would like to comment when I get a chance.
Jimmy, I called on you.
You guys go first, because he might ask what I...
Dave.
I like the motion, and I like the idea of this analysis being integrated into this $50,000 study. I think it's critically important to learn the financial situation, the 10-year review of where their revenues flowed. I think it's good to look at a longer period of time, because we lost a couple of years there because of COVID, so looking at a longer period of time helps inform that. So the recent years we lost, we'll understand that better, and then tie that together so we can figure out how to do a better job of managing it financially and seeing if they can stand on their own or how much county assistance is still needed. I mean, we've got millions of dollars of buildings. We have spent millions of dollars on those buildings, and that'll continue. But possibly we can find a way to get more cost sharing on that park.
All right, anything else? Any other discussion? Are you ready to vote?
On the motion?
Yes, on the amendment here. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right, it passes. Any other discussion on Kemper issue here? All right, do you want to move on, or is there anything else to move on to?
I know there's some members of the board have questions about the Historical Society donation.
Go ahead.
So in looking at the 990 for the Historical Society and looking at the line item going from 138 to 145, I did some digging and I consulted Attorney Cardamone. And when the carriage house on 3rd Avenue was sold in 2014, it automatically terminated our agreement with the Historical Society. So I'd like to make sure that we have a continued partnership with the Historical Society. So I'd like it added, if I could, to the budget, to the overall resolution, that we approve in a partnership with the Historical Society, since we don't have one at this time. Does that make sense?
Can I speak to that?
Sure.
So I'd like to make the motion to include in the budget resolution to direct the county executive to review the partnership between the Kenosha History Center and the county.
Is there a written document now?
There are none.
Oh, okay. So it's just an annual contribution donation.
And bring it back for approval to the
I would second
that. The original agreement was automatically terminated when we sold the carriage house and they moved to the new facility.
Right.
So we just kind of went on without any kind of formal agreement. So I think it's important that
there's no deal.
All right. So there's a motion to request the county executive to formalize this into some sort of agreement.
And bring it back to the board.
For the approval of the board. And you second.
And I did second.
All right, discussion. All right, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed. And what the amount is 135?
145.
145. Is there any discussion on that? All right, should we move on then? Anything else on this?
Is that it for
that,
park?
That does it for parks, so if you guys have any other questions.
I would make a motion to approve park as amended.
Second.
All right, discussion on that. Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
Using governance.
And when I call for a voice vote, I assume that they're not being called upon to roll call. So I assume the voice vote just as we are. All right, go ahead.
Okay.
Jim, is that you or? No.
Fireworks.
Whole golf.
12 of your packet. Again, starting at the top, starting with salaries. This is increases based on annual raises and market conditions, as well as a new full-time employee. The reason being almost exactly similar to what the park's reasoning being, that it will just help keep quality personnel within the golf division and not have to continue to hire over and over. It may be a little confusing if you're looking at the packet and you see the next line down says salary temporary decreased as an offset to one new full-time employee, but then you look in the book and you'll see an $18,000 increase. The reasoning behind that is to keep up with the demand that the golf department has had in the last couple of years. We initially needed to raise the temporary salaries up. It was proposed at $800,000. When the full-time person was approved, that then offset a decrease to the temporary salary, so that's why you see that flip-flop. And that's why we left it as decreased on this packet, just to bring attention to that. The utilities have increased. This is just based off the historical costs that we've been seeing for the golf course. We've increased it, contracted services as well. The largest increase in this line item being the GPS trackers that are on each individual golf cart. It's a very nice addition to the golf course, and obviously there's a contract that comes with maintaining the GPSs.
So that's the increase of the 152, not the increase, but the line of 152.5?
Correct.
That increases for those?
The majority is. Okay. There's also some tree services, but I believe the GPS is roughly 30 okay. grand of that, so that's
Thank
why
you.
You see the increase there. Supplies, this is just increased on the golf course needs. Again, more play comes more upkeep, and thus more supplies. Year after year, we budget golf conservatively. We've had tremendous years the last couple of years. We don't all of a sudden just want to assume that that's the new norm. What you will see, though, is for the first time since I've been here, is we're budgeting at a profit. There is a reasoning behind that. Right now, it is set that they're going to do adjustments to the golf rate. It's not set at specifically what those changes will be, but it's in the works. This $300,000 is an average of $3 between the different types of rates that they'll have, times the 100,000 rounds that they've been seeing for the last couple of years, and that gives you your $300,000. This is specifically put in here to speak to one of the capital items. We can just flip to it, page 13. You'll see golf course improvements. It's carried out over 3 years. It's a $4 million overall project that will help redo irrigation, tees, practice areas, maintenance buildings. Golf carts is its own line item. If there's any questions specifically, I know this is a very large number in the budget. It is being offset with reserves.
Is this page 14?
Yeah.
Page
13. So we went to 13. Flip the 14. Yeah, flip the 14. This gives you an idea. It shows a payment plan. This would be set up as a sinking fund in which we would, in simplistic terms, borrow from the county and pay ourselves back over a term of 20 years. If we were to borrow this at a 3% rate, you would see this average of 270, and hence why this average of $3 per golf rate increase at the $100,000 would show that this should pay for what this plan would encompass.
Yes, Brian.
A quick question, Mr. Barna.
Mm-hmm.
They're proposing a rate, or you're collaborating to propose a rate of 3%. What would it cost us to bond $4
million? What's a bonding rate for 20 years? Is it over close, 3 or is it?
It's probably close to 4% now. So that would be $160,000.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anything further?
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, so we have the sinking fund. Is the total cost $4 million? And is the estimate that it'll take for the course to pay that back 20 years, or do you think you'll pay it back quicker than that? I thought I heard discussion that it might get paid quicker, but the CIP says 20 years. So I just wanted to get thoughts on that.
We kind of did it. Sort of, well, we took $4 million, ran a payments at 3%, we could rerun it at 4% to see if how much it would we have to generate to pay this back if it were a $4 million loan. And then we thought, well, how would you raise that? We could take it out of the profits, which you can see there, the money we've been making. I tell you, in 2022, we're even with last year. So. And the rest of the budget, all the other capital we plan on not bonding for out of golf. And we haven't done a whole lot of bonding for golf, less than half for the last bunch of years, because the board said pay for it yourself, so we're trying to do that. So we thought if it's $268,000 or if it's $300,000, how would you raise that? And we haven't raised rates in 10 years. So if you're doing 110,000 rounds a year and you raise either the passes or the number of rounds, or the cost or the price per round, is it reasonable to assume that it's probably a 6-7% increase? Yeah. So that's kind of, is that the ask backwards way to sort of do it? We didn't really do exactly what you said, but can we raise that amount of money? Yeah, we think we can easily raise that amount of money. But
you can pay it off quicker than 20 years, too, though.
If we could, we would.
Yeah. And but in the meantime, we'll be drawing from county cash flow, right?
Yes.
So do we need language in the budget resolution to authorize that?
There is budget resolution language to establish a sinking fund.
And it authorizes drawing from the county cash for a period of time?
We can add that.
And that's interest-free, then? Is that?
Yep. Okay.
Brian?
Question on lifespan of the work. Red irrigation, if you replace all the irrigation on red course, will that endure for 20 years? Or is that...
What's in there now is original. It's 40 years old.
Yeah. They used to make stuff better.
They did.
50 years old.
That is, that, what you said is right.
It's
probably won't last for 50 years.
So that's one.
Yes.
But then we also have Red 9 in the practice area, Blue Bunker rental. Blue Bunker renos, those generally aren't 20-year renos. Those are every 10 years or less because people want the course to change. So you do work on aspects of a course periodically to continue improvement and continue the challenge of the course. It's not a lifetime once we put it in. So is 20 years realistic? To Supervisor Gearston's question, 20-year payback, is that the right horizon line for the work? Or are we going to be redoing it and capitalizing over the top of it? Yes, sir.
If I can answer.
Everything
on the Red 9 is original. So it's 50 years old already on the Red 9. The white birch is done to the master plan. The only thing that we need to do yet on the blue is the bunkers and the shorter tees and the green surrounds. And then the red hasn't been touched yet. So I definitely feel that the life of bunkers are at least 25 years originally, but we're putting in this Better Billy bunker liner, and now that is an unknown. It's even going to be longer than that because how this is being constructed. You know, it's a new construction where we're fixing the drainage, we're putting in all this gravel pebbles, and then we put a polymer on top of that so it drains so much better. As far as the redesign of the golf course, we had the golf course has been there for 50 years. Yes, there was a redesign to add 18 holes in 1992, but other than that, even with our new architects that I have been working with since 2010, there has been no real redesign of it. I mean, it's a great piece of property. There's great holes. I don't feel that 20 years is at all a stretch to get out of the renovations that we're doing. I think that we're going to far exceed that.
I appreciate that. When I look at Brightondale and think about state-level championships or national-level championships, this is a very desirable location. So make sure that we can attract it and take full advantage of. I live very close to there, so I'm partial.
You're across the street.
Thank you, Ivy.
Aaron?
I would just like to state I really appreciate the planning and the thought to increase the rates to pay for these services instead of asking the county the taxpayers to have the users pay for it. So I really appreciate that. And I really appreciate all the hard work by everyone in golf to make golf profitable. I remember when Supervisor Rose called the Red 9 the In the Red 9.
I remember that.
you can't call it that anymore because they're actually making money.
You're out of order now.
Now it's in the green.
Yeah, it's in the green 9, yeah. So I just want to reiterate that I really appreciate all the hard work from the golf department in getting the golf off the levee and making money. And also making it a great course, because I played it for the first time ever, if you want to call what I did play, but I drove around on the golf
cart.
That was
that increased cost for management.
and the GPS things are really cool. So that's all I want to say. Thank you.
Right, Jim, what's this on page 111 in the book? It says pathology fees.
I think there was a miscall.
It's something new since COVID.
There's an unfortunate. You spent $106 on pathology.
There's an unfortunate squirrel got in the way.
All right. Anything else? Yes.
I would just like to congratulate golf also for zero bonding this year. Congratulations.
Thanks for the nice comments, people.
Motion to approve.
We appreciate it.
Second.
All right. Discussion on the motion to approve. Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Very good. We have a short break. Anything else, Jim?
Highway?
Yeah,
oh. Did you want a break?
There's been a request for a break, and then you have highways, and that's it.
Oh, we have highways and facilities. That's it left.
All right. We'll take that after the break. Let's say we'll re-